and those outside to kindly make their way in as we'd like to start the program. We'll start with the surah.
Hello, my name is Aidan Hassan and I'm going to read Qulhu Allahu Ahad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qulhu Allahu Ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid walam yulad walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Tabarakallahu al-'aliyyul 'azim.
Good job. Very good job. Salawat for Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I will read Hadith al-Kisah by Brother Hassan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet, peace be on them, is to have thus related an event. My father, the Prophet of Allah, came to my house one day and said to me, peace be on you, Fatima. I replied, and upon you be peace. Then he said, I feel weakness in my body. I said, Allah protects you from weaknesses, father. He said, Fatima, please bring the Yemeni cloak and cover me with it. So I brought the Yemeni cloak and covered him with it. Then I looked at him and saw that his face was shining like a full moon with its glory and splendor. After a while, my son Hassan came in and said, peace be on you, mother. I replied, and upon you peace, O light of my eyes and the delight of my heart. He then said, mother, I smell a fragrance so sweet and so pure that as that of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, yes, your grandfather is lying underneath the cloak. Hassan went near the cloak and said, peace be on you, my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, and upon you peace, my son and the master of my fountain, Gautar. You are given the permission to enter. So Hassan entered the cloak with him. After a while, my son Hussein came in and said, peace be on you, mother. I replied, and upon you peace, O light of my eyes and the delight of my heart. He then said, mother, I smell a sweet fragrance like that of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, yes, your grandfather and your brother are lying underneath the cloak. Hussein stepped towards the cloak and said, peace be on you, my grandfather, the chosen of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, and upon you peace, my son and the interceder of my followers. You are given the permission to enter. So Hussein entered the cloak with them. After a while, Abul Hasan Ali bin Abi Talib came in and said, peace be on you, O daughter of the Prophet of Allah. I replied, and upon you peace, O father of Hasan and the commander of the faithful. He then said, Fatima, I smell a sweet fragrance like that of my brother, my cousin, the Prophet of Allah. I replied, yes, he is underneath the cloak with your two sons. So Ali went near the cloak and said, peace be on you, O Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, and upon you peace, my brother, my legatee, my successor, and my standard bearer. You are given the permission to enter. So Ali entered the cloak with them. Then I stepped forward and said, peace be on you, my father, O Prophet of Allah. May I enter the cloak with you? He replied, and upon you peace. My daughter, O part of myself, you are given the permission to enter. So I entered the cloak with them. Getting together underneath the cloak, my father, the Prophet of Allah, held the two ends of the cloak and raised his right hand towards the heavens and prayed. O Allah, these are the people of my household, Ahlul Bayt. They are my confidants and my supporters. Their flesh is my flesh and their blood is my blood. Whoever hurts them hurts me too. Whoever displeases them displeases me too. I am at war with those at war with them. I am at peace with those at peace with them. I am the enemy of their enemies, and I am the friend of their friends. They are from me, and I am from them. O Allah, bestow your blessings, benevolence, forgiveness, and your pleasure upon me and upon them. and remove impurity from them and keep them thoroughly pure. Then the Lord Almighty Allah said, O my angels, O residents of my heavens, verily I have not created the erected sky, the stretched earth, the illuminated moon, the bright sun, the rotating planets, the flowing seas, and the sailing ships, but for the love of these five lying underneath the cloak. Jibrail, the trusted angel, asked who are under the cloak. The Almighty answered that they are the household of the Prophet and the assets of prophethood. They are Fatima, her father, her husband, and her two sons. Jibrail said, O Lord, may I fly to earth to be the sixth of them? Allah replied, Yes, you are given the permission. Jibrail, the trusted, landed near them and said, Peace be on you, O Prophet of Allah, the All-Highest conveys his peace on you and his greetings and says, By my honor and glory, O my angels, O residents of my heavens, verily I have not created the erected sky, the stretched earth, the illuminated moon, the bright sun, the rotating planets, the flowing seas, and the sailing ships. But for your sake and love, God has given me permission to enter the cloak with you. May I join you, O Prophet of Allah? The Prophet replied, And peace be on you, O trusted bearer of Allah's revelations. You are given the permission. So Jibrail entered the cloak with us and said to my father, Allah sends his revelations to you. Verily, Allah's desire is to remove blemish from you, O people of household Ahlul Bayt, and purify you with the perfect purification. Then Ali said to my father, O Prophet of Allah, tell me what significance has Allah given for getting together underneath this cloak. The Prophet replied, By him who rightfully appointed me a prophet and chose me a messenger for the salvation of the mankind. Whenever and wherever an assembly of our followers and friends mention this event, Allah will bestow on them his blessings and mercy. Angels will encircle them, asking Allah the remission of their sins until the assembly disperse. So Ali said, Verily by the Lord of the Kaaba, we and our followers are the winners. Then my father replied, By him who rightfully appointed me a prophet and chose me a messenger for the salvation of mankind, whenever and wherever an assembly of our followers and friends mention this event, there shall remain none grieved, but Allah will remove his grief. There shall remain none distressed, but Allah will dispel his distress. There shall remain none wish seeker, but Allah will grant his wish. Ali happily said, Verily by the Lord of the Kaaba, we and our followers are the winners and the blessed in this world and the next.
Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Thank you, Brother Hassan. Now I'd like to request Brother Ghulam Abbas to come up and read a small poem for us. Salawat from Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, bilantar salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
This short poem is about the call of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. هل من ناصر ينصرنا هل من ناصر ينصرنا Is there someone who will come for our help? Is there someone who will come for our help? We answer your call, لبيك يا حسين. Please say together, لبيك يا حسين. لبيك يا حسين. We will rise against tyranny and injustice. Your legacy will sustain. We answer your call, لبيك يا حسين. لبيك يا حسين. Nothing can hold us, not the chain, not the pain. We answer your call, لبيك يا حسين. لبيك يا حسين. The divine mission of Hussein The justice, the truth, the freedom will remain. We answer your call. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein. Your followers will live with dignity and honor. Humiliation will be rejected again and again. We answer your call. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein. Karbala will be alive forever. Karbala will be alive forever. Millions will march regardless of all threats. We answer your call. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein. The journey of Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar will never stop. Till the day of judgment, we will run your campaign. We answer your call. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, Blantar Salawat.
Thank you, Brother Ghulam Abbas, for that wonderful poem. Salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Before we call Maulana to the member, please kindly move forward as much as you can. So we have proper majlis etiquette, a lot of green space here in front. Please fill up in the front so people who come late will have some space. Please kindly put your cell phones all on silent so we don't disturb the majlis. Kindly sisters who need extra space, there's room in the basement for the overflow. Any contributions towards the tabarruk, you can see myself, Sister Taysin, Sister Masuma Shirazi, we'll be happy to give you the details. Without further ado, we'd like to call Maulana with the members. Salawat par Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Huma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Bring the space closer. Thank you. Allahumma salli ala رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القاعلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المستحدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله أعداه مجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد حمت به وحم بها لولا أن رعى برهان ربي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد فيس The necessity for God has been our ongoing topic. Tonight is lecture number 6. The attempt now for almost a week has been for us to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the motivational factor in our life. To make Him our muharrik. where everything we do with His pleasure in mind, and to understand that not only should we believe in Him, but we need to believe in Him and we need to have Him in our life. And we've done a lot of muqaddamai discussions, a lot of preliminary talks to really kind of establish the base of this discussion. We looked at the various barriers on our path, everything from escapism to individualism to how we have presented the deen to our next generation. In the past two nights now, we looked at a couple of very key philosophical, theological concepts. One was a proper identification of the unlimited. Where I had mentioned the fact that our innate detest for limits actually is our innate search for the unlimited. And mistakes that are made in this world sometimes are made by incorrectly identifying that unlimited. Can you imagine now identifying this unlimited, working very hard your entire life, training, working hard, studying, getting to a point now, maybe in your 30s, your 40s, where you think you've reached that unlimited, only to get there and still feel unfulfilled? It's devastating, it's disheartening, it's deflating. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, we're not going through a trial and error process here. I'm not asking you to go check out the other side of the world or the other satanic life, figure out for yourself that's not for me and then come back. No, I'm telling you from now, this is what is allowed, this is what's not allowed. Because one key point from that discussion a couple of nights ago is the fact that when we identify Him to be the only possible unlimited, capital U, then any limits that come from Him, we accept. Don't forget the hadith by Imam Ali, لا يسعد أحد بإقام إلا بإقامة حدود الله. You will not reach the level of سعيد, سعادة, true happiness. Not this fake happiness, true happiness, spiritual happiness, until and unless you establish the limits that come from the unlimited. And that led to yesterday. We talked about the fitrah. We talked about this implanted God gene inside of us that comes packaged with us when we are created. That tells us innately that there is a sublime being, a higher power. This statement of La ilaha illallah is a fitri statement. It's not just an Islamic statement. Any human being understands this statement, provided that fitra does not get corrupted, does not erode over time. So we said that Allah now has given us the potential to understand Tawheed, but that potential has to be actualized. Now, one point I want to add to yesterday's discussion, and then I'll get to tonight's content, is the fact that why is this fitra so important? Because the fitra and the aql are what? Are very much in tune with each other. Okay, let's get this out of the way, please. Let's come a little bit to the middle, like I like you guys to do, please. And let's focus, please. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Can we move, please, together a little bit, if you don't mind? Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Beautiful. Allahumma salli ala. When the fitra inside of us is strong, I'll get to a point now, right now, how to make that strong. The aql then does what? The aql then subserves or submits itself to the fitra. That fitra then tells the aql, this is logical, this is illogical. When the fitra is weak, when it's corrupted, it's eroded over time, the aql then stands by itself. And part of the problem today is that there are people that actually believe in their logic and their aql. You talk to them, they actually believe it. Certain illogical realities are very much firm in their logic. And you wonder, what happened to your aql? How is this not, why don't you see what I see? Why is this not blatant blasphemy right now in front of you? How can you sit there and defend this and have yaqeen over it, live and die by it, sell your soul for it? It turns out their fitra has been turned off. Or not turned off, sorry, it's been what? It's been corrupted. Like I said, it's not an on-off switch, it's a dimmer, right? So when it's on a very, very low dim, the light is still on, it doesn't do much for you. It doesn't really open up the guidance, it doesn't really make things that are in dark full of light, no. And that's why one of the things I mentioned in closing last night, I ran out of time, was the fact that if we want to keep this God gene inside of us strong, we have to surround ourselves with people that remind us of God. And that's why you have pages and pages of our hadith that talk about who your circle of influence should be. It's all I talk about. I've done workshops on this. I've done ashras on this. My young guys especially. If you surround yourself with people who are godly, and I don't mean the idea that you guys sit around on a Friday night in a circle doing tasbih all night. No. But people who remind you of God. If you're slipping towards shaitan, they pull you back. Those are people, those are experiences that keep the fitrah from eroding over time. This is not an overnight erosion. The difficulty is over time, gradually the fitrah erodes. That God gene weakens and the aql begins to believe whatever it wants to believe. That's why it's important that we marry individuals. The first characteristic is what? Taqwa, 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 God consciousness. So you can spend your life with somebody who's always, always going towards Allah just like you are. That's why it's important that I always tell my parents to bring your children to the mosque. Bring your children to the building. These actual four walls, the brick and mortars. Not once every year on Ashura, or not during the nights of Qadr. Oh, those are huge nights, no doubt. I'm saying the consistency is very important. Once a week, once every 2 weeks. Let them feel what the fitrah feels. Let them find the God gene in these walls. Yes, we can talk about, you know, how we can improve idara, what's wrong with idara, you know, this is not happening in idara. And believe me, every center has its own fair share list of things they can improve on, no doubt. But it doesn't mean that there's not benefit in one du'a kumail on Thursday night. It doesn't mean that one khutbah by Sheikh Jaleel or one reminder by him on a Thursday night is not beneficial. It absolutely is, especially if we're being bombarded constantly by those things that are what? Looking now to corrupt our fitrah. We have to preserve, cultivate that God gene inside of us. Remember I told you, God tells us there's a supreme being. It's the prophets and the Quran and the imams that tell us that supreme being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be constantly reminded. You know, Shaykh Mutahi rahmatullah alayh, an intellectual mind in Islam. He would tell us that we would end our dars with Imam Khomeini on Thursday. We wouldn't have it until Saturday. That day and a half of not having the dars, we would literally feel like as if our light now, that light was kind of being a little bit diminished. Agha would Saturday morning feel that diminishing and would spend, you know, a little bit in trying to get that light back. That's a day and a half without being around someone to remind them of God. Sometimes we go weeks without any remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That can't be done. Especially my young guys. Can't be done. You have to look after your fitrah. God gave you that, you have to cultivate. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Now let's move away from those two concepts and begin to talk a little bit about everyday life. I promised you by Thursday or Friday, I'll begin to talk a little bit about social issues that actually affect us on a daily basis, and we'll begin tonight. I've given you a lot of the base building. Okay, now we're moving towards that weekend, the 7, 8, and 9 weekend, the crux of our message. And to understand my point tonight, let's understand a little bit of a discussion on the sifat and the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama of theology, they have characterized Allah's qualities into several different characterizations. And you've seen these, sifat al-fi'liya, sifat al-dhatiya. Those sifat that are attached to his essence, those sifat that are attached to his action. Okay, his ilm, his knowledge, his hayat, his life, his qudra, his power, all those things are his qualities essentially. His fi'liya qualities are those where he performs those actions in his own world. be it risk, be it forgiveness, whatever the case may be. Another characteristic, another categorization of the sifat of Allah are that he has jamali characteristics and jalali ones. And I want to spend time on this discussion today. There's still some individuals, and this fitra, like I said, I'll keep coming back to it, this fitra will make sense to us when the veils are lifted. The veils of sin, the veils of ignorance, the veils of trauma. You know how many of my kids today, not just here, everywhere, how many youth today have spiritual trauma? Spiritual trauma, understand this point very well, please. Growing up, let's say, in a madrasa where, you know, they were told if you don't do this, you'll burn in hell. Being embarrassed in front of their class. Being sick on Sunday mornings, I don't want to face madrasa. I have a horrible teacher, either hits me or calls me out or asks me, you know, did you pray namaz this and namaz that? Why don't you have Surah Qawsa memorized? What's wrong with you? Should I call your parents? Or they come to the center and they happen to meet an alim and ask a question to the alim, and the alim didn't give the akhlaqi answer they're looking for. Or a judgment by some of our elders in the masjid. Whatever the case may be, there is spiritual trauma. And this building sometimes, a mosque, a center sometimes, is a reminder, a trigger of that trauma. Now you can dismiss that and say, look, you know, this is a sensitive generation, hypersensitive, you know, melodramatic. You can do that, but the reality is that these things exist. And so naturally when someone like me comes in from out of town saying, look, you need God, you need God, you need God, the word God even makes them shiver a little bit, a pit in their stomach, because they're reminded of that trauma. We have to learn to navigate through that. I'm not saying it's all right. I'm saying, yes, sometimes our youngest have to power through certain things, no doubt. But that trauma is there. Sometimes when you bomb a madrasa quiz, and on Sunday, the teacher in front of your 20 colleagues in your 20 classmates are saying, why? I said, why did you get 7 out of 20 on your quiz? Didn't you study? These are very easy answers. What's wrong with you? How come everyone else got 15, 16? You got 7. And you're quiet. Answer my question. Should I call your parents? And everyone's looking at you. Now next Sunday, all of a sudden my stomach hurts, Baba. My head hurts, Baba. I have a cough. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's okay. Let them drink the water. It's okay, please. That's okay. Give them the water, please, sir. Don't worry. Thank you. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Drink your water. Enjoy your water. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. And that comes from trauma. And it has to be understood. And it's a little bit of a high-level discussion. Maybe for me at least it is. For all of you, mashallah, you are the mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a jamali dimension to him and a jalali dimension to him. I really need you to follow me. I say that every night, I think. So what is that? The jamal comes from beauty. That side of Allah, those attributes of Allah that reflect His beauty, His love, His mercy, His compassion, His forgiveness, His nurturing essence. That's all jamal, beauty. Then the jalali aspect is what? His majesty, His power, His retribution, His authority, His power. All these things represent His jalali aspect. Jalal and jamal also sometimes are used in Urdu and Farsi. Right? Chehre pe jalal aa gaya uska. Right? Doesn't mean that he's angry, but there's a sense of authority, a power there. Right? Jameel, Jameela, Jamal, these are all words that we use, of course, in Urdu as well, meaning beauty. And both of these characteristics of Allah humble us. Let me explain with an example. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. There are some people, like I mentioned in the very first discussion, that are love-oriented. They're humbled by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or love in general humbles them. I'll give an example of a marriage. Okay. We love our spouse and we try to cultivate that love and increase that love and strengthen that love to the point where sometimes we end up doing things, saying things, going places, wearing things that we wouldn't do. But we do it because of the love of our spouse, for example. Or let's say, for example, I've wronged my spouse. I messed up. I did something wrong. I go and I, for example, let's say, you know, beg for forgiveness or ask for forgiveness. I humble myself in front of my spouse. I humble myself in front of my parents. I humble myself in front of my children, for example. I go to my kids, I say, look, I apologize for my reaction. That was uncalled for. You didn't deserve that. The love that I have for these people humbles me. At the same time, the jalal of Allah also humbles us as well. There are people that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply because they don't want the hellfire. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala. In a very famous breakdown, a very beautiful one, mind you. Sometimes I feel like we take these words of the Ahlul Bayt for granted. Treasures are left behind by the Ahlul Bayt in the form of khutbahs and du'as and ahadiths and sayings. Sometimes the sayings you've heard since you were a child, you hear again, it hits differently. Because now you're a little bit different, or I'm a little bit different. He says there are three reasons why individuals worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gives them all names. One's a tajir, one's an abd, one's ahrar. One is a business individual, does tijarat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tajir. That God, I'm selling you my worship, I want to buy your jannah from you. So I am worshiping Allah with the hopes that I get jannah. Allah takes a deal sometimes. And if you stop and think about that for a second, it's not even a fair deal. If I turn baligh at 15 and I live until, let's say, 95, 80 years of worship. I have 80 years of worship, right? Even that, my worship is like, you know, it's broken, it's scarred, it's falling apart, it's tutti putti, it's whatever, halhalme, this and that, right? I present 80 years of worship to God, saying, okay, God, this is what I'm offering you. What do you want in return? I want an eternity of heaven. He says, deal. Sure. Imagine. I'm getting to a point with all of you where I'm going to ask you, does God not deserve a chance from all of us? Is it really that hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it really hard to get into heaven? Does God not give us time and time again, one chance after one chance after one chance? He gives Fir'aun 7-8 chances. Are you Fir'aun? I don't think there's one Fir'aun sitting here. I'll ask your wives maybe, but I don't think there's one Fir'aun sitting here. Here he is saying, I will take your 80 years of worship. Now in there is salat that I don't remember praying because my hand was somewhere else. Right? My head was somewhere else. Fasting where I just did a hunger strike for a couple of years of month of Ramadan. Donations and sadaqah I did just to show the crowd, look how much I gave. All that insincere worship was all wrapped 80 years. He goes, you know what, I'll take it. Here's heaven for you. Hum fiha khalidun. Forever and ever. Go ahead. Deal. There are people that do it that way. Then there are those that approach Allah through the ubudiyah, the path of being an abd. And the job of the slave is don't upset the master. Don't upset the master. Do anything you want, but don't upset the master. Same way, don't upset Allah. Don't upset Allah. If you upset Allah, you'll be in the hellfire. Then the third type, the highest type, is that who's free, of course. Free of what? Who has ihrar, who's hur. Hur, as you know, is a free individual. A person who doesn't have the desire for heaven, doesn't have the fear of hell. I do it because Allah is worthy and layiq of that worship. If anyone deserves for me to wake up every morning before the sun rises, it's him. Anyone deserves for me to fast in this summer heat, it's him. Anyone deserves 20% of my savings, it's him. And that's why when you look at the way that Imam Ali describes heaven and hell and Du'a Kumail, has nothing to do with grapes and milks and hoodies and gardens and lakes and all that. Forget that. He says, "Sabatu ala adabik, fakayfa asbur ala firaqik." Suppose, just suppose, God, I will take your punishment. I'll handle your punishment. I'll endure your punishment. How do you expect me to endure separation from you? So the level of qurbat between Ali and his Lord is heaven and hell for Imam Ali. So there are some people, absolutely, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that reason. That I don't want to upset a whole Jalali aspect of it. So these two now, of course, are in front of you. Now, let's go one step higher. When you reach a certain level of spirituality that I wish upon everybody in this room, when you reach a certain level of spirituality, these two merge into one. I really need you tonight. I really need you tonight. Merge into one. One becomes apparent, the other one becomes hidden. Okay? I'll give you examples. There are things that may look like they're Jamali on the outside, but they're Jamali on the inside. Examples, don't worry. Others may seem like they're Jalali on the outside, but in the essence of them, there's Jamali. I want to change my approach when it comes to the way that Allah places things in my life. You see, His beauty, okay, His love, His compassion, His mercy, that enters my heart, it softens my heart. I just went to Hajj. I sat there, it took me days to realize that I was in front of the Kaaba. I thought, it looked surreal to me. It looked like a desktop wallpaper on my monitor. It looked like a screensaver. You guys know what a screensaver is? Yeah? Aajkal ke bachche. Screensavers? Yeah? It looked fake to me. And then you become overwhelmed. And this is just the Bayt of Allah. This is just the Qibla of Allah. It's a cube that represents the Bayt of Allah. It's a direction of our worship to Him. Imagine getting to a point where you meet Him. Spiritually, of course. You're overwhelmed by that. That beauty enters your heart softens now. You're reminded constantly when somebody elbows you in tawaf, or steps on your toe, or does something, or pushes you, or shoves you, or they exit the way they exit in tawaf. And for a moment now that anger rises, it's the softness of the beauty of Allah that says, look, you're in Hajj, you're a Haji, you're a Haji, you're a Haji. Allah enters that heart and He softens it. He makes it mush and like Play-Doh almost. Have you seen a kid with Play-Doh? He can do whatever he wants with it. He can mold it as he wishes. But then the Jalal of Allah comes to what? To strengthen that heart, to shape that heart. And both of them are very, very important. We can't just have a heart that's completely soft and mushy. It has to have some form to it, some structure to it. We have to find strength in that heart, resolve in that heart, patience in that heart. And sometimes it happens with when Allah drops a hardship in our path. And you think, oh, you know, God's punishing me for something. Wait a second. Let's stop for a moment here. So things that may seem Jamali are Jalali, and Jalali Jamali. That's why Imam Khomeini, again, in his Adab al-Salat, says that sometimes hidden inside every Jamal is Allah's Jalal. Eventually, what I want to get to at the end of the speech, if God helps me, is all of you and myself understand that after a while, Allah's Jalal is removed, all you see is His Jamal. And you'll get there. You'll get there. You're with me, you're sincere, you've been an incredible majma for 6 nights. I love all of you for that, and you will get there with me. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thank you. And it's all a mindset. It's all how we approach it. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. My elders, I oftentimes ask my elders, tell your kids your story. Tell them your story. Tell them how you migrated. That's one thing I love to hear from my elders. I asked him, where are you from, uncle? How'd you get here? How long were you here? Where were you here before Maryland? I was here, 5 years in Dubai, and then, 10 years in Doha. We spent 2 years in Chicago. Now we're in Maryland. Now I'm retired with my daughter, with my son, this and that. They traveled the world, and they established themselves in all parts of the world. If I asked them about what they went through in terms of the hardships, they sit there and tell me, it was very hard now. But looking back at it, Maulana, it made me who I am today. To find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beauty in the eye of the storm is the kamal of the mu'min. Understand my statement. To find Allah and His beauty, His jamal, in the eye of the storm. Because the storm is jalali, right? There's rain, there's thunder, you're drenched. The winds are strong. You look around, no one else is going through rain but me. Always pouring on my house. Jabbi dekho, this bala, this struggle, this hardship, this sakhti, this mushkil. Why us? Why us? Why us? And all you see, all of Allah's jalal, just for us. Everyone else is living pretty. We have to get to a point. We strive and struggle to get to a point. And we use all the points from before. Unlimited, the fitrah, the aqal, all these things to get to a point where even the most jalali moments in life, all we see is the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know this is difficult right now, but believe me, Allah has something greater in store for us. So get through the storm and then enjoy the rainbow afters. But we have to have that during the storm. Let's look at the Quran and a very famous statement by Bibi Zainab, salamu alayhi wa sallam, salamu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. No, not like that. Please, I need a very loud, nice loud salawat ala Muhammad ala Muhammad. In Surah Inshirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, فَإِنَّا مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّا مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Verses 6 and 7, I believe. Chapter number 94, if my memory helps me out here. It's not ba'da, it's ma'a. With hardship, there's ease. With hardship, there's ease. It's one of the most beautiful verses to talk about the jamali and jalali. Remember I said, one is apparent and one is hidden. And then when you get to the point where now you are flying towards Allah, then you get to a point where you realize that hidden in this hardship is my ease, is my progress. I have to get through the hardship to be able to get to where I want to get to. And we have to learn to be uncomfortable. My young guys, please, my young sisters, learn to be okay with not being okay. There's growth in that. We don't grow through comfort, I'm sorry. It sounds very negative, but everything else in life, we're willing to get through that difficulty. My pre-med guys, my doctors in the audience, what haven't you gone through to get to that career path? Think about those, med school and your MCAT and those 16-hour days and those rotations. 4 days working, 3 days off, 16-hour days. All that you did to get to this point. Now you're comfortable, alhamdulillah. Now you're set, mashallah. And you would have gone through that 10 more times if you had to get to this point. Built in that was your own development. We have to get to a point where even if right now I'm drowning, and I know a lot of you, some of you right now, are drowning right now. I know you are. You come in Adara, you put on a beautiful face, you come, you meet me with a smile, you shake my hand, you put on a beautiful face. Like everything is under control, Sayyid. Inside, you know your halat and your state. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's divorces, there's broken engagements, there's cutting off of ties to the family. People have, sometimes there's identity crisis. I can't get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm stuck in a rut. Quicksand is sometimes what's used by my youth today. Quicksand. I'm not moving, but I'm drowning right now on this spot. That's difficult. It's hard. It's hard to navigate through that. Even in those moments, and even in those moments, the Jamal of Allah is there. Because sometimes Allah understands the only way that Asa will come back to me is if I put a little bit of a crack in his sidewalk. Because the moment that things get a little bit difficult is when we run for the musalla. That's just how we are as human beings. When someone gets sick, then our WhatsApps blow up. Okay, I need 10,000 tasbihs on my Yujib. Okay, 100 here, 200 here, 400 here, and then tasbih dhikr, and the person is cured. Alhamdulillah, the tasbih is gone. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Allah knows that. He understands that. Imam Muhammad Baqir, alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, these fans at Idara, these fans at it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One more nice loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. For 5 days, I warmed you guys up. You guys are warm now, I'm warm. Let's get to a good conclusion tonight. I want myself to get to a level of spirituality where I'm drowning. In that drowning, I say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. My level of submission to God is not conditional. I'm not going to be what Surah Hajj says in verse number 11. وَمَنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. There are some men who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عَلَى حَرْفٍ, on the edge of a cliff, on the edge of a cliff, on the exit of the boundary, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. We're worshiping Allah. These are people who do ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are people who worship Allah, but they do it on the edge of a cliff. Very, very vulnerable. It's such a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Surah Hajj, verse number 11. 22:11. On an edge of a cliff. That so long as everything is khair, Allah, fatamanna bi, I have itminan. Allah, you give me good news, I'll give you my worship. You save my family from any diagnosis, I'm good. You save my family during COVID, I'm good. You don't ask me for any hardships, you have my sujood, you have my khums. But the moment that a fitna comes my way, inqalaba ala wajhihi, they turn their face away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the way that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are alhamdulillah ala kulli halin. That happens when you see his jalal to be his jamal as well. And what better mystic, irfanic statement of Bibi Zainab's, that ma ra'aytu illa jameela. This day of Ashura. Bear with me for a minute here. The day of Ashura. What happened on the day of Ashura? Bodies were trampled, I'm sorry. Heads were severed. Blood was shed. Innocent children were killed. Tents were on fire. Women were disrespected. All you saw was Jalal, 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 Jalal. And when she was asked to summarize that day, she saw Jameel. She saw a man, his family, his companions, sacrifice everything to please his Lord. That's all she saw on the battlefield. We have to get there, and we can get there. All of you have the tools inside of you. You have the fitrah. You have the unlimited. All of that is inside of you. There's no reason why you can't get to the point. There are some people we know, I tell you, they handle their hardships beautifully. They're going through so much, you can see it. Their iman is not shaken for a moment. In fact, they say, Mawlana, I am honored that Allah chose me and my family for this difficulty. Can we get there? Can we get there where the Jamal and Jalal become one? Become one. To my parents in the audience, whether your parents are young kids, older kids, please understand the point. This is very easy for us to get to. It's easier, respectively, to get to when we look at it through the lens of our children. Sometimes we ask our children to do things that they don't want to do. Sometimes we ask them things to do that they don't like to do. But we're not going to sometimes back up. We know that, look, going to bed at 7:30 is important. You won't get up in the morning. Having Nutella for dinner is not a good idea. Watching a movie on a screen for 3-4 hours a day is not a good idea. And you sit there and say, turn the screen off. And their face will drop. And they'll stop up the stairs. And they'll slam the door. You tell them, you can't have Nutella for dinner, Rita. You can have your dinner first. Tell them maybe you want Nutella. And then their face will drop. And they're angry. And all they see you as is someone who says, no, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Will you back down? You won't. Because a greater good inside of you is in mind. You're thinking about the greater good for your child. You won't budge on your rules. You won't let them sleep at 11 o'clock at night. They need their sleep. So yes, they could be angry, but they'll realize eventually that all these rules are actually for their betterment. Maybe not right away, but they will later on. And so you'll keep the rules and keep the rules, knowing full well, one day, they'll sit there and say, you know what? Thank you very much for feeding me right and giving me proper habits and making me study on the weekend and making me come to the majalis. Because of you, I have love for Imam Hussein right now. Otherwise, at 7 or 8, I want to stay home and watch cartoons. No, go as much as put on your black clothes, wash your face, let's go. I'm tired, Mama. I'm tired. I don't understand the speaker. He's weird. He's from Toronto. He's not funny. He complains about the heat in Adara. I don't want to come here, Baba. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Ah, salawat, yeah, salam, salam. But you won't budge as parents. You won't budge because you have what? You have their overall growth in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no different. He'll ask you to do things, experience things, go through things that are very difficult. Very difficult. And a lot of you have gone through your fair share of difficulty. No doubt about it. Don't ever undermine what you've gone through. Yes, maybe you can compare yourself to people back home, that we live a very privileged life, but don't undermine what you're going through. But know that God is not, it's not sitting there in the heavens saying, excellence. He's suffering, yes. She's suffering, that's what I wanted. We have to have a little bit, inshallah, I'll build on this, a little bit of a better image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know that maybe He's asking me to do something I don't want to do, cover myself, pray, fast, give this hard-earned money. I know it's very difficult to do that. Why does He want me to go through this hardship? Knowing full well that if you just kind of go through the motion I'm asking you to do, there is khair, there's spirituality, there's taqwa, there's strength, there's perseverance, there's sabr all waiting for you. Just get through the storm. Just get through the jalal of Allah. All you'll see is beauty upon beauty. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You don't have a big target on your chest. You don't. Allah's not sitting there picking your target. He doesn't enjoy yours. Just like you as parents don't enjoy when your kids suffer. It's hard for you when the whole family's over, you're having a nice evening on Tuesday night, it's a school night, and you tell your kids at 7:30, you have to go upstairs and go to sleep. But there's, you know, Mamu's over, Chacha's over, Taibu's over. Everyone, you know, I can hear you guys having fun and laughing. You want me to go to sleep? And you feel so bad. You do, your heart breaks. But you know they have to be fresh for school in the morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no different. Our fifth imam has a beautiful hadith. Please understand it. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. He says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those in the back, ya Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to elevate you, He places hardships in your life. That's His way of elevating you. Because you discover things about yourself that maybe without that hardship, you wouldn't be able to discover. We have to find the jamal of Allah And those things that are outwardly jalali, difficulty, hardship. Sometimes we hit rock bottom. And we have to learn, it's my last point on the Messiah, we have to learn the idea that when we do hit that rock bottom, and some of you are there right now, and you've come here on the farsh of the adha of Imam Hussein for healing, I pray Allah heals you. These 10 days are 10 days of healing. Come here to heal yourself. Drop your musibah in the ocean of Imam Hussein's musibah. But when you look at, for example, I'll give you one example. One example. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam. Nabi Yunus is that prophet, as you know, who was asked to go to a certain village, preach the oneness of God. Asked to be patient with them. And he tried very hard, they were not responding to him. Not the way at least he wanted. And he left. Some say that, you know, he just walked away from them into the outskirts of the village. Now, if I had time, and you know, if anyone's confused about it, please come and see me. In the world of Prophet, there's something called Tariqi Awla. It's a smart majma, you know what Tariqi Awla means. Our prophets, we believe the prophets, all of them, from Adam all the way to the Prophet of Allah, all of them are ma'asum, infallible, they don't commit sins. Tariqi Awla is that process where there were two choices, one was good, one was better, they choose the good choice. They should have chose the better choice. Not a sin, but always choose to be the better. And by the way, you and I should also have that same mentality. Always choose the better choice. So at that moment, that wasn't the better of the choices by Nabi Yunus. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to kind of make him, you know, reset himself, places him in the belly of the whale. Okay? I want to gift you something from our fifth and sixth Imam tonight. Anyone here who's drowning, anyone here who's going through difficulty, anyone here who's putting on a brave face, please take this gift and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that gift. In the belly of that whale, because this is a hadith by our fifth and sixth Imam, both of them have narrated by saying that Nabi Yunus was in three levels of darkness. Understand the imagery here. Three levels of darkness. The first level of darkness was the darkness of the belly of the whale. The second level of darkness was the darkness of the ocean. These whales don't swim on the top of the ocean. They go deep inside. The third was the night. Do you get? Three levels of darkness. When he gets inside the belly of the whale, what happens? What does he say? فَنَادَ فِي ظُلِمَاتِ. Those of you who pray Salat al-Ghufayla, if you don't, I highly encourage you to. Salat al-Ghufayla between Maghrib and Isha. It's a two-rakat salat. It's very, very, very powerful. You can Google it and search it online. It's all there. In the first rakat after Alhamd, you're asked to remember the story of Nabi Yunus. He called out, fi dhulimat, not fi dhulmi, fi dhulimat. Dhulimat is the plural, is the jama' of dhulm. In the darknesses, he called out. That's why he says three levels of darkness, Imam Muhammad Baqir. Three levels of darkness. He called out. What did he call out? فَنَادَا فِي ظُلِمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ. Finish it. إِنِّي كُنْتُم مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I love you, I love you. Nothing better up here than when you guys finish my verses. إِنِّي كُنْتُم مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The first thing he does in that darkness, three levels of darkness, the first thing he does, glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh. In that jalali environment, he finds the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, if anyone put anybody in this predicament, it was me. It was me. It was me. And the moment he says that, the verse goes on to say, we heard his call, we freed his call. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We'll do the exact same thing for believers like you. Just call out to God in the darkness. Don't let anyone tell you he doesn't want to hear from you. Don't let Shaitan come in and say, bro, really? After all the mistakes you've made, you think God wants to hear from you? It's precisely when God wants to hear from you. The hadith says God is with the brokenhearted. Because those... Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Why the brokenhearted? Why the scarred? Because at that moment, you're the most vulnerable. You're the most vulnerable when you are brokenhearted. That's when you've been sort of stripped of all the outside that you're trying to show others, and you are at your bare essence. I am at my bare essence. At the essence of ourself, to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a huge proclamation of La ilaha illallah. It's one thing when people like me walk around like I'm pious and I'm showing everybody blah blah blah. It's one thing. In the darkness, nobody sees me. I'm drowning, hitting rock bottom. I'm vulnerable. I'm broken. I'm scarred. At that moment, to say, Allah, please. That's when you've told Allah, Allah, I have tried all these doors. None of them make sense to me. The door of Tawheed makes sense to me. In this jalal of mine, in this difficulty of mine, I have found you and your beauty. So please, I ask any of you, if you think you are the target of Allah's jalal, why does Allah hate me, Mawlana? How many of my youth ask me that? How can I get Allah to love me? It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. What more does Allah have to do to tell you that He's obsessed with you? How many times must He hide my faults to others? How many times must He sit there and cover my sins behind closed doors and still have the respect of all of you? You stand up when I walk into this hall. You don't know who I am, but God's put that respect inside of you. And still someone like me to claim that God doesn't love me? Why does He hate me? Why are there so many problems in my life? We can't have the Ayyubi aspect to it, that Ayyubi approach to it, that the more difficulties there is, the more shukr there is. Can we do that? We can't do that. You absolutely can do that. You have to tap into your fitrah. You have to understand Him to be the unlimited. You have to know that He's not just for the ma'sumeen. Inshallah, in the coming nights, we'll build on this. We're getting up to the point where the weekend's coming. We recite Dua Sahat. Every single majlis Dua Sahat is read. For those who are sick, those who are in need, have you ever read the translation of Dua Sahat? Do you know what we're asking in Amma Yujib? Every kid, every woman, every child has this memorized. What are we asking for Allah? That's tomorrow. That's my commercial for tomorrow. My cheap plug for tomorrow. I don't need cheap plugs. You guys are coming tomorrow, right? There's no way you're going to miss my speech. Right? No salawat? Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Who says English masters don't get mad at headaches? Mine do, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Because when you get to a level where something that looks jalali, you find the jamal of Allah, you get to a point where you begin to prepare your two children for war. I know my mothers are listening. I said this point in a house majlis last weekend. Let me say it in front of all of you at Adara. Mothers are a unique creation. They are one of, if not the most selfless of all beings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a reason why He chose to have life grow inside of them. There's a reason why he chose them to be a vessel for his creation in this world. Islam is quite outspoken about the fact that the mother is three levels higher than the father. Why? Because they're very selfless. All their du'as are for their children and for their loved ones. They don't know how to pray for themselves. If any of their family, if any of their kids especially are ever sick, injured, their du'a is not just, you know, Allah please cure them or fix them. Instead, she'll ask, Allah give me the pain. Free my child from that pain. I used to leave my house for school, I would hear my mother under her breath, small du'as as I left the house. My mother wouldn't sleep until all of us were inside the house, and a lot of your mothers are like that. You've heard all the different riwayat, ahadith about the fitrat of the mother. I talked about that even last night. Holy Prophet attends a funeral of a man who's lost his mother. They bury his mother. After the burial, the Prophet of Allah turns to the friends of the man who lost his mother. Said, now you must look after him carefully. The shade, the saya of the mother's dua is no longer with him in this world. Those who have lost your mothers, you know. A man does tawaf with his mother, carrying his mother, samsi on his shoulders. Doing that, finishing that, coming asking the Prophet of Allah, have I made up for all that she did when I was younger? And the Prophet says, by Allah, not one night have you made up. Because while you do it to pay her back, she does it simply out of love. These are mothers. Give me the pain. Rescue my child from pain. Protect my child from pain. Don't place my child in an area where he or she might get hurt, might get injured. Telling you constantly, be careful, be careful. The floor is wet. The parking lot has cars. I don't want a scratch to be on you. Nothing. The moment you say, I'm thirsty, mama. I'm hungry, mama. She'll wake up in the middle of the night and she'll cook you something. She wants comfort. She wants comfort. That's her fitrat. But the mothers of Karbala, their fitrat was something else. Their fitrat was, how can I sacrifice my children for Hussein? And we see that with Bibi Zainab and her two sons. Imagine now a mother now in the tent preparing her children for battle, knowing full well they won't survive. Oh no, Muhammad, we're not baligh, the books say. 11, 12 some say, but they weren't baligh. Now you can imagine how young they were, how small they were. It's one thing where you have your own children, it's one thing where you have your sister's children. We're sometimes a little bit more protective over your siblings' children, your nieces and your nephews, and you're over sometimes your own children, sometimes. That you'll make sure, okay, make sure they're okay, and then you look after your own kids. Imagine now the state of Imam Hussein's heart when a very young Ona Muhammad come to him, says, Mamu, give us ijazah to go to battle. He says, how can I give you ijazah? You're Zainab's two sons. How can I give you ijazat? Go ask your mother. And they would say, it's mama who sent us to you to begin with. Telling us, preparing us for the battle. So you have the blood of Hadr Karar inside of you. You are my nishani, you represent me. Go out and make me proud. Even some poets depict this very beautifully. That if you get to Farat and you have some water, don't forget about the thirst of Sakina. Don't forget about the parched lips of your Mama Hussein. When they went back to Bibi Zainab and said that, Amma, he wasn't giving us ijazat. That's when Bibi Zainab went straight to Imam Hussein. Says, Bhaiya, do you remember in Siffin? Do you remember Siffin? When Baba was in that battle and Abbas was 14, 15 years old and Baba told him to go fight and go battle. Do you remember the pride by which Baba was watching Abbas fight? He was proud. This is my Abbas. This is my son. This is my Abbas. He says, yes, I remember Zainab. Yes, I remember Zainab. Why are you depriving this mother from that moment of pride? The mothers of Karbala, my salams to you. Honor Muhammad, come forward. Abul Fazl Abbas now has to find armor for these young children. They couldn't find armor to fit these young bodies. They did their best to tie the shoes onto them. They couldn't find a helmet to fit on their head. The helmets were too big. So one reports after 5 or 6 different tries, Abul Fazl Abbas and Imam Hussein tried to tie green amamas on each head. Then they put the helmet on. Abbas mounts Oun on the horse. Hussein mounts Muhammad on the horse. And two of them now enter the Maidan of Karbala, announcing themselves that we are the sons of Abdullah. We have Hadar Karar's blood inside of us. And so long as these two were fighting together, nobody could stop them. But the enemy realized, let's separate the two and attack them individually. There comes a time now where they are sabotaged, they are ambushed, they're surrounded by so many of these grown men. Arrows are being thrown, spears are being thrown. There comes a moment now where they fall from the horse. As-salamu alayka, ya Ummah. Oh, salam to your uncle. Abul Fazl Abbas goes inside the Maidan. Imam Hussein goes inside the Maidan. They bring back two of these shahada back to the khaymah. Everyone's waiting to see Zainab's reaction. Where is the mother of Oun Muhammad? Where is the mother of Oun Muhammad? Hussein says, Zainab, I brought your Oun Muhammad back to the khaymah. Zainab now exits the khaymah, lying in front of her. On one side, Oun. On one side, Muhammad. May Allah not allow any mother to see this moment. Then she goes into sajda, places one hand on the chest of Oun, one hand on the chest of Muhammad. Ya Allah, accept my Qaleel sacrifice. Matim al-Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Hussein, 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 Hussein,
Say the same, say the same, say the same, say the same, say the same. Janam fida is a no. Janam fida is 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 O Oun and O Muhammad, O progeny of Jafar, guarding Abba Abdullah, you were the sword of Haydar. O Oun and O Muhammad, O progeny of Jafar, guarding Abba Abdullah, you were the sword of Haydar.
signifies an up
the bake of butters of Anam
John Amphidai is 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 Anam
John Hussein
Hussein Hussein Hussein, 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 Hussein
حق کر گئے مادر کے ادا سارے کے سارے حق کر گئے مادر کے ادا سارے کے سارے حق کر گئے مادر کے ادا سارے کے سارے کر گئے مادر کے ادا سارے کے سارے سمجھاتی تھی بچوں کو بڑے پیار سے زینب
سمجھاتی تھی بچوں کو بڑے پیار سے زینب
جاتی تھی بچوں کو بڑے پیار سے زینب
سمجھاتی تھی بچوں کو بڑے پیار سے زینب
بھولے سے نہ جانا کبھی دریا کے کنارے
حق کر گئے مادر ادا سارے کے سارے
پیاسی ہے سکینہ رہے آن یہی کیا
پیاسی ہے سکینہ رہے آن یہی کیا
پانی کا تصور نہ تو ذہنوں میں تمہارے
کر گئے مادر کے ادا سارے کے سارے کر گئے مادر کے ادا سارے کے سارے
حسین 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 اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Please get ready.